The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
I'm trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. And the answer for you, Holly, because you know everybody, is yes. Whether or not Andrew and I have... Is breaking bread the right word? Hanging out? Sharing a soda?
If we ate, breaking bread is correct.
Okay. We've never eaten together.
No, but you do look familiar.
Hmm. I just have one of those faces.
For radio?
Face you want to punch. Andrew Marcus, my friend, how are you?
Hey, great, man. How are you? I would never punch you, man.
Oh, with letting me know. You seem like the kind of guy who'd just be like, hey, over here. And then look.
And then it's like my left hand out of nowhere. Boom.
Yeah, just this left hook.
I think they say don't let your left hand know what your right hand does.
That's true.
Oh, my word.
You would just... I would love to just take scriptures and just...
use them out of context.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know anybody who's ever done that before.
No. I'm not going to drop names. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm sure you have a massive list. I actually listened to your episodes of the In Doubt show.
Nice.
And yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know.
No, it was good. Okay. Good reviews here. But we'll dive into that because that's like starting at the end of our story.
But I mean, if you wanted the honest truth about something, you go to Holly because she will, without a doubt, without an in doubt, tell you how she honestly feels about things.
You're obviously a dad.
Yes.
And that's why I'm laughing, because I'm a dad too. I'm like, I get it. That was really good.
Dang it. All right, no more of that. I promise.
Know, I love it. I love it.
Andrew, we like to ask the skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. And that is, who are you and where did you come from?
I am Andrew. I am born and raised in a place called Surrey, British Columbia. And I made it out. A little bit of the ghetto, but no, just joking. But. Seriously. So I live in British Columbia and born and raised, been here my whole life. Married, two kids. My wife is Michelle. We've been married for 10 years this year in June, which is awesome. And we have two kids. We have a boy who's turning 5 and we have a little girl who's almost 2.
Aww.
And it's been like a full season. I've been doing pastoral ministry in music for the last 15 years. In a few churches, and I recently resigned, and I can unpack that. I don't know if it's right now or later. I could tell you my story, or is that another time? I don't know. You guys tell me when to stop talking.
just take over this interview. It's
yeah,
fine.
We don't have to be here at all.
So I don't want to like So I worked at a church for 10 years. My last position as a music pastor, and had amazing times. And what I thought was going to be a 2-week vacation after Easter turned into a sick leave, turned into a sabbatical, turned into taking all my vacation because I was diagnosed with clinical burnout. So that was like the worst, darkest, most horrible season of my life. And so that was April all the way to basically December. And then I started with In Doubt on January 3rd. And I knew about In Doubt, last year, but they just wanted to graciously say, hey, we'll wait for you if you need to get well and do counseling, do all the things. And so we signed the contract, but I had an extra 5 months to just kind of rest and do therapy and all that kind of stuff. And so I officially started January 3rd, and it's been a really good change. I've just been loving it. And so it was a very hard, last year was the hardest year for our family, but God has been so good and so present in it. Yeah, I'm just aware of the fact that the high capacity I thought I had is not as high as, one would think. So
yeah.
It's interesting that you say it was the darkest time, because the whole point of this, the Why Me Project, is we're in the hills and valleys of life. We ask God that question, why me? Why are you putting me through this? Or why are you using me in this way? As you go on this sick leave and this sabbatical and this burnout, would you consider one of those why me moments?
It was horrible. I had like tons of anxiety. I couldn't drive down the street to get kids medicine. I couldn't move. I was crippled. I couldn't put cutlery down on the table when someone said, hey, put the cutlery here. I'm like, I can't. They'd have to take the fork and knife and place it on the table. Like, I just went from high capacity to just nothing. And I had like panic attacks, which I've never experienced before, and depression. There was like 2 times where I could just hear the enemy audibly just saying, you're a burden to your family. You're a burden to this. And then it'd be easier for everyone if you just ended it. And I, And it was the first time in my life where I was like, I think that's right. And I started like making plans in my head. And it was like that moment where I was like, oh gosh, like I told my wife, I'm like, I just, the voice is getting very loud. And I just, you know, and so it was terrible. But you know, even when I was in it, in like the lowest point, obviously weeping, I lost 50 pounds from April to December. I couldn't eat. I was throwing up all the time. It was just like terrible. And, but I knew God was present and I became very close to him in that moment, closer than I've ever been. And ironically, I released a song that I wrote like a few years before called Sweet Communion. That was the latest single I released in the summer. And, I was in the middle of all that, but the whole song is about just being at the feet of Jesus. And, ironically, it came out in the season where I needed it the most. But I started writing a book in the middle of this time, and it was just kind of for me to just process all that was happening in my life. And, but when I was in the lowest moment, I could say to myself, even though this is terrible, I wouldn't change this for the world. Because I felt an intimacy and, a closeness to God that I never felt before. And it was just like, it was beautiful and terrible. And it's kind of cool how God could make both of those exist at the same time.
I think probably just the past couple of years with COVID and people being in really tough and frustrating situations of loneliness and illness, there's more conversations about how our emotions can coexist more so than ever before. And I think that's so good because it can be confusing, but knowing that that's okay. You can feel close to God and still feel, you know, like we're human. We have this beautiful array of emotions. Why not spend two in one place?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I got to experience that firsthand. And now I'm kind of just on a high alert when I see all these young guys who are just trying to run so fast and so hard and do a million things and just, hey, like, I don't want anyone to feel that.
Yeah.
If there's a way you could avoid the hardship, but stay close. And maybe there's not a way. Maybe the hardship is what actually drew me close. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would never have drawn close if I was just kind of running my race and doing my thing. So.
Yeah.
Do you think that there was a moment like that, you know, breaking of the camel's back moment where you're like, I'm not good. Like, it's like we're on this hill and we're going up. Eventually you're going to hit that top where you're going back down real fast.
Yes.
And that's when we start to slide. Can you notice when that moment was?
Yeah. I mean, like again, with like the panic attacks, like I've never had that before. And I felt like that was kind of just a sign for me that like the whole floor underneath me was gone. And not wanting to leave my bed ever, not wanting to see anyone ever, weeping uncontrollably nonstop for hours, like just in fetal position in bed. Like that was it. I was just sliding down very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going that fast and it's that dark, you're just like, there's no way out. I thought there was no way. I thought I'd never do ministry again. I'd never be in front of people again. And I didn't want to, but I just thought I couldn't. And, so it's just, it seemed hopeless and again at the same time so hopeful, and I don't understand how to articulate that. It's just Jesus, and it just blows my mind when I see people who are going through hardship without him, and I'm like, I don't understand how that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want to talk about leading up to that moment too. As Johnny says, it's a hard and long road up and you're like, yeah, I'm at the pinnacle. And then everything just comes unraveling. But you were involved with music. You were, you know, serving the Lord, and it would appear everything was going in the right direction. So let's start up like kind of there. Let's go to the beginning.
Yes.
Music, becoming a pastor, was that always the end goal?
I mean, growing up for me, I never wanted to be a pastor. And I didn't go to church. My parents would drag me to church. And ironically, the thing I didn't like the most was the music. So I'd pretend I had a stomach ache. I'd go in the bathroom. I'd wait till the music was done. And then I was quote unquote healed.
And then
I'd come in ironically during worship every time I had a stomach bug.
Yeah.
And then my life changed when I decided to go to church on my own. And I sat on the top row of a church that I drove to in a different city. I don't even know how I got there. I just drove. Found myself at a church, went inside. Pastor said, think of all your talents offered to God. I put my hand up. I said, Lord, use me in music. Put my hand down because I'm like, I don't play an instrument. I don't sing. I don't even like it. And this was like first year university, and or like at the end of grade 12 going into university. And so it didn't make sense to me. And then I got an email from a guy who wanted to teach me guitar, and it just kind of, everything snowballed very quickly, but it wasn't ever the dream. It wasn't the goal. And then I just saw doors opening and opportunities, and I'm just like, I think this is just the direction God wants me to go. And so, that was all like 2006, 2007. And it's been a wild ride. You know, when I talked to my wife about my burnout, she would say she saw a lot of warning signs as I was running.
Yeah.
And, she would bring it to my attention, but I'm like, ah, no, honey, I'm fine. Like I got this. And so it's interesting. So I did a lot of touring, a lot of writing and recording. I do have a new record coming out in the spring that I recorded, pre burnout. But she would say, oh, like, honey, you need to like slow down, or I can tell you this and that. And I just kept ignoring it. So there was signs from the outside.
Yeah.
And they all look like good things that I'm doing, though. Like you
said,
it's like ministry and music and touring and all these. It's like all really good, encouraging things. You're promoting the gospel and loving people. But the premise of this book that I've been writing, and it's all about healthy rhythms of rest, which I had to learn the hard way. And but, you know, the story in Luke is kind of the premise of the whole book, where it's Mary and Martha. You know, Jesus is coming over for lunch. To break bread, as Johnny Rocket said, literal bread. So he's coming over. And of course, you know, one sister's going nuts to prepare and to clean and to cook, and she's going crazy. And then the other sister is just sitting at the feet. And it's crazy because she's doing good things. She's preparing, she's cleaning, she's prepping. Like, this Jesus is coming over with his buddies. Like, this is a big deal. So it looks like it's really good things. But then Jesus says, oh, you know, Martha, 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 like, you are worried and anxious about many things, but only few things are important. Indeed, only one. And Mary chose the right thing. And so there's one thing that's important, and it's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if we're not doing that while we're doing the other things, if all the other things we're doing is not from the posture of at the feet, you're worried and you're doing many things that don't even matter. And so, yes, we could do many good things, but if we're not doing that one thing, like he says, indeed, only one thing matters. And I think, you know, the word priority, all the way up to, I think it was like the 14 or 1500s, priority was a singular word. And then we changed it to a plural word, priorities. And now we think we can have 10 of the utmost important things to do. And it's just not the reality. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was saying that, hey, few things are important, indeed, one. There's one priority. Mary chose the right priority. And so I think, you know, we have to make sure we're not fooled that doing 20 things for Jesus is exactly what he wants, because there's actually something that he wants greater, and it's just you.
Yeah. I love that you bring that passage up, because growing up as a female and having those responsibilities and making sure that everyone is taken care of, I was always offended by that chapter. I'm a Martha. And I just thought, how could Mary have it right? When everyone was done chatting and worshiping Jesus, they would want food. Then they'd be upset there wasn't food. Yeah. They'd be hangry. Yeah. But I love that you boil that back down, because that's just us now wanting to please the other people.
Yeah.
That's not a priority, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a Martha too. It's like, I love to just, you know, do a lot of stuff, and it's, you know, with good intentions and a good heart, but it's just, I just want your heart.
You don't play an instrument. You raise your hand up. You learn guitar. You must have had like some sort of inkling, like you could sing and that. Cause the Lord is not coming to me and saying, Johnny, you should sing, cause my voice is terrible.
Johnny, I think you probably have a fantastic singing voice.
He's really good at singing Enrique Iglesias.
That's my
right
that's my
now.
Go-to.
Yeah. Do it right now.
Do it.
Put a little mole. Put a little mole on your face. And you know the Jimmy Fallon, we did like he was like the host of like some awards, and he like made fun of Enrique Iglesias. And every time he would sing and the camera would come back, the mole got bigger.
Oh,
he kept adding pieces.
Ugh.
And I felt so bad. It's like at the end, it was like half his face. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty offensive.
Didn't he remove it after?
Honestly, I feel like it was shortly after that.
That's
so, I'm like,
so
I feel
sad.
Pretty terrible. It's not nice. But yeah, no, I didn't have any experience singing and any desire to sing or anything. Honestly, it was just like, it felt like the most random thing. I was in the business program at Trinity Western and none of it made sense. And I remember we were studying for an economics exam, and I told a couple of my buddies who was studying with me, it's like, hey, like, I think I'm called to be a worship leader. Like, do you sing? I'm like, no, like, do you play an instrument? I'm like, not really. They're like, dude, shut up and study, man. I'm like, no, yeah. I really feel like I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Some people might say, even now, I still can't sing or play guitar, but you know what? it's okay.
Oh,
I'm
no.
okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I've heard you sing. I've heard you play the guitar. And I remember watching kind of you grow with just with your music, radio airplay. And I was excited to see like all the next musical things that you were coming out with. And then I hear that you are doing this In Doubt show. And I'm like, what happened? There was a why me moment there for sure. How do you go from like pursuing yeah. music and you yeah. are a pastor and worshiping on Sundays and then quiet and now, you know, the podcast. So
yeah.
Can we talk about that why me moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously the burnout was a huge kind of unplug, and I unplugged from everything for like 9 months or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And just tried to reevaluate. I did have a few job offers at like churches for music ministry again, but I'm like, I just don't think I'm healthy enough to just jump back into the rat race of the church culture.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of things to say about church culture that I don't think we need to get into, but I feel like we've created a Christian culture that's not even Christian. It's just this weird culture. So so I didn't want to jump back into, you know, any kind of pastoral role. I'm still ordained as a reverend right now through our denomination, but I think that like kind of expires by December. So I'm like, anyone wants to get married or buried, give me a shout.
Married or buried. Ass.
I just was really, really reevaluating and spending a lot of time at home with the family and realizing, wow, like, you know, when you're doing ministry, you're just away from the kids for a long time and touring. I can't imagine touring like leaving the kids and Michelle. Like it just, that'd just be really hard. And so what's important? What do I need to do? I think I need to make some changes in my life to just stay healthy. So I'm healthy for my family. And like my family's my main ministry. And so maybe when the kids are older, we do some touring and they come with me and the whole family comes together, like something. I led worship for the first time 2 weeks ago and I was very nervous because I just didn't know, you know, can I still do it? Or, you know, like it was just but you know, being up there, the first strum, it was like, oh yeah, like I remember that God called me to do this. And so I'm not done. You know, I might not do it for a paycheck. Maybe we do tours and I don't need to, you know, get into like financial things for it or whatever. But so I'm not done leading worship. I do have a new record coming out and, you know, I still write. That's just how I process my life is just writing. And, you know, even if no one listens to it, it's okay. That's just how I, you know, that's how I pray and that's how I, you know, just go through things. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of new prayers and new anthems coming from this time. And I actually used my old prayers and old anthems to get through that time. And so I'm not done with the music, but I felt in this season it wasn't healthy for me to just jump back into full touring and being a music pastor again. It wasn't a good fit for me. So when this came up, and they've been asking me at In Doubt for like 2 or 3 years to host, and I can't do it. I'm doing a bunch of other stuff and I can't add another thing to my plate. And then I thought, you know, this might be a good fit now. Maybe now's the time where it's, you know, it's just a different type of workflow. And I thought that would be healthy for me to just stay healthy for my family.
Why is there so much burnout with pastors in general? Do you know?
I don't want to give an answer that might not be right. But mm-hmm. I just feel that there's a lot of performance and a lot of trying to fill the pews and a lot of, you know, excellence and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not against all that stuff. I love to play excellently. That's, you know, I don't want to get up there and sound like a turd. So I get it. But I think there's just a very strong emphasis on the Sunday gathering and the show. And that's just a lot of pressure and it's a lot of work. And it's not what we're supposed to be doing. And so I think it's unhealthy. And I think with COVID, I mean, for me doing like online church, physical church, recording all the stuff because we wanted to make sure it was like really excellent. So you know, it's not a live stream because it wouldn't sound as good. And I get it. We wanted to provide the best we could for people who are at home, but then everything opened again. It's like, you're still doing that. So now you're working two jobs And I think it's just like to, again, do this thing that we think people want or care about, but really they don't. And they just need Jesus. And so that's another book I was working on. And the kind of the tagline of that book was, it's about kind of what the church is up to these days and what I feel like we need a great reset in the church. And the tagline was like, you know, they're coming to church hungry and they're leaving starving. It's because we're putting on this thing, thinking that it's going to work, but we didn't give them what they actually, their souls actually needed. So I think that's causing a lot of burnout. People are just tired of the rat race of trying to do the thing. Yeah, that's just my personal opinion. And that's how I feel like that was my experience anyways. So
I want to piggyback off of what Holly was saying, though, because I said, do you think that we lack pastoral support in the sense that you guys, pastors, are trying to put on this show? And then when you're either you're 100% in or all of a sudden you're dealing with burnout and it's like we don't 80% of those who do things at church are 20% of the volunteers. So, yeah. I mean, it's so interesting that there's these pastors who are burning out and it's like, well, I don't understand. Why is this not happening? So, you know, what can we yes, we do lack pastoral support. What can we do to support our pastors?
Yeah, we do lack pastoral support for sure.
Yeah.
I think like I experience like pretty healthy rhythms. I've seen it in church where you have like great executive pastors who are checking in, whether it's weekly or monthly, or how's your soul? How's your family? Making sure the priority, your main ministry is your family and then church is, you know, after that. And so, you know, just having accountability, I think is huge. And I think when people are just run with no accountability, it's the exit that you will take. You're on that path and it's the only exit you will take will be burnout. There's no other exit if you're going to just go nonstop. And so I think accountability and having pastors pastor the pastor, having a pastor to pastor your team and make sure you're on the right path and you're having healthy rhythms. I didn't take a lot of vacation time. I just would be go. And that's why I had a lot of vacation stored up that I could use to rest and recoup from burnout. Mm. And I think like in church culture, if you're doing a lot and you're busy and you're stressed and if you're breaking the commandment of Sabbath as a pastor, that's what gets you a promotion. And if you're not breaking the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, you could lose your job. So, and I'm not saying that for my particular situation, but I just feel like in the church capital C, the more you're doing, the more you're getting promoted, even if that means, you know, you're not really resting well. So, I think healthy rhythms of rest and having accountability is huge.
For the church, it does seem like busyness is not exalted, but put on a platform. Or a pedestal rather. And that is also something that we see in our culture. But it does seem outside of the church, there are more strides to moving towards more rest and being able to self-care. Why do you think the church tends to be a little step behind on some of these conversations that are happening more mainstream?
It's a great question. I think it really goes back to the Mary and Martha. I think we think, oh, we're doing God's work. So it's okay to be crazy busy because it's God's work.
Yeah.
And he wants this for us. He doesn't. And he could do his work without us, actually. I think we kind of take his place in thinking that, oh, like he needs me. No, he doesn't need you at all, actually. We are privileged to play a small part. But again, he wants us first. And I feel like the church is, that's just the easy slippery slope of like, I got to do God's work. That means I'm not going to see the family much. I'm not going to be around. I'm always going to be at the church. I'm going to have to do a lot of travel. It's like, it just gets dangerous quickly because you think you're doing good and you are doing good, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not the right way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hats off to you being pursued for so many years and willing to turn down back to the Bible and in doubt and be like, nah, it's just, now's not the right time. I've never been pursued by anybody. It's, you know, so, I mean, the fact that you're willing to say no and continually say no until it was the right time. And on top of that, you get to work with Ben and Steve, who are like two of my favorite people in the entire world.
Amazing, man. They're amazing.
Right. And so, I mean, they would just be like, hey, Johnny, I'd be like, yes, I don't know what it was. And so we buried that body.
Yes.
Yeah. We buried the body in the mountain somewhere.
Like, I got to do it. Like, I mean, whatever you want me to do. Yes and amen. Anything. Anything for you guys.
What was it about the podcast? What was it about them? What was it about the whole situation that you finally said yes?
Yeah. You know, I feel like I've just been seeing a lot. Again, we talked about a little bit of this, like we've created a Christian culture that's not Christian. I've just seen a lot of people and a lot of churches and a lot of Christians really jumping on the wagon of love and acceptance. And I think love is super important. Mm. And I think we all ought to love. But there's the second part of that where it's truth. And I just feel like I'm seeing a lot of churches saying yes and amen to many things that are 100% sin for the sake of love. And I just feel like I just wanted to maybe, I just felt God calling me to maybe be a small voice in just bringing more truth. Matthew 7 is a huge part of why I said yes. It's the narrow and wide path. And when you read it, the wide path I assumed was pagans, Hollywood, you know, people who just openly say that Jesus is not God.
No.
But the response from people in like verse 21, 22 is like, you know what? I did this in your name. We did this and healings and cast out demons. We did all these things in Jesus' name. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Not I used to know you and I don't know you anymore. I've actually never known you this whole time. So it's believers or people who looked like they're professing Christians who were actually on the wide path that were leading straight to hell. Oh. And so that kind of alarmed me at the realization that, oh man, I'm seeing all these Christian people saying yes and amen to all sorts of things. And I'm like, are they on the slippery slope to hell? And are we just loving and tolerating people to hell and helping people down the wide gate? And so I think that just woke me up spiritually. And I think I said yes, because maybe God could use whatever we do to just help a few people make a U-turn and take the narrow uphill, very hard road that only few people will follow. And so that passage keeps me up at night. And I think that kind of gave me the fire underneath me to say, hey, you know what? Okay, Lord, if you want to use me in this season, I'm open and willing to just preach the truth of Jesus in the word. And I'm sure we'll get mocked and hated, but they hated him first. And that's just a part of the journey. And so that was kind of how it all started.
Hmm. So what's your 30-second elevator pitch? What is In Doubt Show?
In Doubt Show is basically, we want to resource young people with a biblical perspective on life, faith, culture, all things. And culture's throwing a lot of things at us and telling us a lot of things that are just lies. And I think it's just time that we, you know, stand true to God's word and just be unashamedly standing firm on God's word, being okay to be hated. Salt and light is what we're called to be. We're supposed to be distinct, set apart, not blending in, but standing out. And we'll look rebellious, but I just want our viewers to know that we want to be rebels for the gospel and we're okay with that.
Young people is what? Like how old? Because church the other day had said, hey, we're going to have young couples or young group or whatever after church. We're going out to have a bonfire and s'mores. So I was headed out there. And my wife's like, where are you going? And I'm like, well, it's young people. She goes, you're past that.
Okay. Technically, I think we're still, are we past young?
I think so.
Dang it.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Like what's young?
Well, our demographic is 18 to 35.
Yeah, okay. We're old now.
All right, we're old.
Yeah, high fives.
But I'm still in. Like, I just missed by
Must
a year.
Nice. Must be nice. Be so young.
You're young, bro. I peg you at, like, 34.
Yeah, wow. With all the gray in this beard.
Okay, dude, I have no hair on my scalp, so just settle down, okay?
Why do you think I wear a hat?
Yeah, I know. It's terrible, man. I was holding on to my scraps for so long, and then I tell people I had to let go and let God.
So for those who would want to download, for those who want to be a part of what you guys have going on, when do episodes come out? How often are they coming out? And, you know, kind of all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. We air on Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And it's on YouTube. So it's a kind of like a live vibe YouTube show. And then we have on podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you tune in and you can listen to the In Doubt Show. Yeah. So our old podcast was just In Doubt Podcast. And now it's called The In Doubt Show because we have a video aspect too. So, and it's pretty fun. We have like some fun skits and like, just like, we're just having fun with it. So it's like gospel truth, biblical perspective, but we just want to also keep it light because I think young people need a laugh again.
I want to say though, I saw your first episode and I was a little jealous.
Why?
Your guest was John Neufeld.
Oh, okay. Come on. Honestly, I mean, he's like one of my heroes, man.
We've been like trying for years to have him on our podcast, but you know, first episode, that's fine. Oh. Whatever.
He's such a legend. I just love that guy so much.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You have every right to be jealous.
Yeah.
Starfield.
Okay. John Neufeld. I get it.
He was alive in that moment.
You must have like four children with that joke.
That was terrible.
Two. Wow. Okay. So, but you're seasoned, the grade six. Like how old are your kids?
13 and 11.
Yeah, you're a seasoned father. Yeah, okay. That was a seasoned father joke. That wasn't like a, hey, I have a newborn. It was like, hey, I've been around. Oh, gosh.
Oh, amazing. I love it. Well, I am just excited for what God's going to be doing with you and your podcast. I love the mixture of having some like John Neufeld with some younger individuals, just hashing it out. You've got such great diversity in the conversations. So, we're going to be watching to see how things go for you guys.
Fun. You guys come here when you're in BC.
Okay.
You guys are sitting in the captain chair.
Yes. Can't
afford the gas.
I'm going to try to get somebody's buddy pass.
Yeah, come on.
Flying on out.
Come on.
Brand new book at some point. New music out this spring. Indoubt.ca. Podcast is out on Mondays. Pastor Andrew Marcus, until December. My friend, we appreciate you. Thank you for taking some time.
Bless you guys. Thanks so much.
One of those guys who it feels like we've been friends forever, and it's kind of like we just had this big family reunion.
I know. He's such a kindred spirit, and I just love his heart for just sharing his story and helping people know they're not alone. I mean, how many pastors have gone through burnout and to have been depressed, but then they don't tell people. And so I just appreciate his honesty and transparency. I'm so excited for what God has in store for him now that he's a part of his own podcast and just trying to comb through our faith and the culture that we're in today.
And what's interesting is that I was like, oh, we're going to talk a lot about music or we're going to talk a lot about the podcast. But no, I think the support for pastors and pastoral ministry is really needed, and we need to find ways that we can come alongside our pastors and help them because they're probably going through something and they don't have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I just assumed if you're a pastor, you have support, but that is not always the case.
No, very true. So thank you to Andrew for taking some time. Thank you to you for following us on all the socials, for downloading Apple Podcasts or Spotify. When it comes to the social media, though, Holly, we need the reviews, we need the subscribes, we need the rates, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So please, if you were encouraged today, make sure whatever podcast platform you're on, you give us a 5-star rating and write a little review about something that you appreciated about the episode. And even on our socials, let us know what was your takeaway. And we'll let other people know about those takeaways. Hopefully on Tuesdays, we'll share your takeaways, not ours.
No, we're not begging, but we're begging.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, please do it. Pretty. Please don't forget, you can also check out places like Edify and faithstrongtoday.com.